A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 31st chapter, verses 14 to 31. Narada instructs the Prachetas. Verse 14. Yatha charamula nishe chanena tipyan titatskanda pucha pushakha pranapahara shayatan vyanam titaiva sabahanam achutecha. Translation: as pouring water on the root of a tree energizes the trunk, branches, twigs, and everything else, and as supplying food to the stomach enlivens the senses and limbs of the body, simply worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service automatically satisfies the demigods who are parts of that Supreme Personality. The Prachetas, they prayed on one level for just that the Lord be pleased with them. But then they asked for another benediction, and that was association of devotees. So then after we heard the final prayers of the Prachetas and how the Lord accepted those prayers and said, whatever you desire, let it be fulfilled, then we heard how the Prachetas left. They went to the palace. They ruled for millions of years. And then they left the palace. They had a son, Daksha. They left the palace. And again, they went to perform austerities at the ocean. And there they met Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, we heard yesterday that without bhakti, your birth is useless. Without bhakti, all the material processes are useless. And without bhakti, all the spiritual processes are useless. And then he said, actually, the goal of all these processes is Krishna. So then after you hear all that, then you should think, therefore. There should be a big therefore in your mind after you hear, okay, all these things are useless without bhakti. So therefore, what? What is the therefore? No, that's what I said. That's what I said. Therefore, perform bhakti. Yes. Since everything without bhakti is useless, therefore, just do bhakti. That's the point of yesterday's. And this is, all these analogies here will explain why or how simply by pleasing Krishna everyone is pleased and all goals are accomplished, and also why we should serve Krishna. So all these analogies are to show how Krishna is pleased, how everyone is pleased if we please Krishna, and also why we should serve Krishna. Now this verse and the verses from 9 to 12 are quoted in Bhagavad Arkam Richimala, and they're used with reference to the eighth offense in chanting the holy name. And that is to think that it is considering pious activities equal to the chanting of Hare Krishna. So these verses support that point, this eighth offense. It explains how this is an offense to chanting the holy name. That actually, if you're doing pious activities, it's just watering the leaves instead of the root of the tree. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gives us a nice story. In this book, it's, I don't know the name because I lost the first page. Anyway, it's a book of stories by Bhaktisiddhanta. I think it's available in the bookstall. It has a Sanskrit name, Abhyasa something. Anyway, this story is about the idiot gardener and the stupid pundit. So one landlord, he had a gardener to take care of his garden, and he had one pundit in his court. And both of them were the same because the gardener knew very little about plant care. And the pundit, although well-versed, had no common sense. So the gardener, one day the landlord was taking a stroll in his garden, and he saw the gardener very meticulously watering the leaves, the branches, and the flowers. Because he was thinking, it's better I give so much water to these because these are the real products of the tree. So I should water the flowers and the leaves and the twigs and the branches. So he was very meticulously, each and every flower, each and every leaf, each and every branch, he was giving water. So the landlord observed. He said, what are you doing? Watering each and every flower, your leaf and branch, this will not nourish the plant. And in fact, it will die soon because the flowers and leaves will go rotten from such watering. Better pour the water at the root so the entire plant will get the water. So then, after advising the stupid gardener, the landlord happened to meet the pundit in his own room, and he found he was committing a great blunder. The gardener, is here, Bhaktisiddhanta, as the gardener was as illiterate as a fool, the pundit, although apparently learned, was a greater fool. He was sitting in front of several dishes of delicious food. He was making small lumps, and he was putting some in his ears. He was putting some in his nose, putting some in his eyes. In this way, he was trying to eat the food. And he was chanting mantras, Om Karnabhyam Swaha, Om Nasikabhyam Swaha, Om Chakshurbhyam Swaha. So he was offering it to all his different senses of his body. He firmly believed the senses, like the ears, the nose, the eyes and hands, are all the time working very hard, so they deserve the food. They should get the food. So the landlord was astounded, and he told him, no, all the senses are automatically nourished if you feed the stomach. So this is Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta's commentary on this verse of Śrīmad Bhāgavatam. Didn't bring anybody today? Oh, you did. Okay, he's coming. So Prabhupada explains the same thing in the purport. And he actually, in this purport, Prabhupada takes from the comments of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because I have the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also here. And he's talking about, Prabhupada says, the point is, one may ask, what harm is there? This is the end of the purport. In worshipping Krishna and the different parts of his body, the demigods, the answer is also given in this verse. The point is, by supplying food to the stomach, the indriyas are automatically satisfied. So Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura says, someone may suggest it's all right if you water the leaves. If you have the money, you can also worship the other gods. What's the harm? Maybe you don't have to water the trunk, the branches and twigs if you water the root, but there's no harm in also worshipping the demigods. Someone may argue, and you may even get some benefit. So Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura says, to counter this proposition, then they give the second example of the senses and the stomach. Because if you smear food on the eyes and the ears and the nose, there will be harm done, and there will be no benefit, no positive benefit. So this verse, verse 14, was used in several different ways by Śrīla Prabhupāda in preaching and preaching application. This verse is very, very important for preaching application. So I have quite a few examples of that. But before I give you my examples, I can ask you, how could you apply this verse for application in preaching? Any? Yes, Sankirtan.
Opposing the idea of one has to worship many demigods.
Yes, that's the example given. So, okay, the idea, you have to worship many demigods, so there's an application. Yes, Vanamali.
If you go to one big office, you have to sometimes be bright. If they have good close relations with the head of the department, then you don't need to bribe anybody.
Okay. Right. So sometimes if you want to get something done, especially in India, in the government, if the only way to get anything done is to bribe someone. In fact, the only way, if you really want to get something done. If you want to get it done fast, it's the only way. So instead, if you know the head man, you can go to him. Yes, and I did that actually for my visa. I went to the head man. I didn't have to bribe. Yes, okay. Instead of trying to satisfy our senses, we should know whose senses to satisfy. Yes, Ben Kirtan.
Sure. You. Yeah. Say, also, it can be used as say a person wants to solve all his material problems, wealth, education, and everything. But he goes to the root, which is getting free from birth and death.
Yes, right. Right, so it's the way to solve all problems. Go to the root. Yes.
There is another proverb for the disease.
Proverb for disease. In Tamil.
If you want to cure the disease, you go to the root of the disease.
Okay, there's a proverb. If you want to cure the disease, you go to the root of the disease.
Don't cure the symptoms.
Don't cure the symptoms. And this is, yes, it's a very good application. Go to the root. Don't cure the symptoms. Any other preaching applications for this verse, or personal application or preaching application for this verse? And today we have, oh boy, Lord Nrisimhadeva again. Haribol. Any other examples? I'll give you quite a few from Śrīla Prabhupāda. One application. This verse is a formula for a classless society. Śrīla Prabhupāda, classless. No class. Yes, yes. Put Krishna in the center. So this is in Journey of Self-Discovery, Chapter 7. He said, yes, make Krishna the center and do everything for him. And he said that he was talking to Hayagriva, and he was saying, now you're writing philosophy. If I want you to wash dishes, you will do that immediately, because you know whatever you do, you're working for Krishna and your spiritual master. So classless, it's a formula for classless society. That he quotes this verse, achyuta, ijya. In the Sanskrit here, we have the last word, achyuteja. He quotes, achyuta means Krishna, ijya means worship. So this is the formula for a classless society. Make Krishna the center and do everything for him. Achyuteja. Journey of Self-Discovery, Chapter 7. And then he also says that whether you wash dishes or write books or worship the deity, the value is the same because you are serving Krishna. So that's how it was when we joined. It didn't matter what service you were doing for Krishna. Prabhupada often said that the pujari and the one who's cleaning the temple, they are the same. They are seen in the eyes of Krishna.
He also said that the services are support of Sankirtan.
Right, service are support of Sankirtan also. Sankirtan movement. And then he said the perfect class of society is Vrindavan. He says because some are cowherd boys, some are cows, some are trees, some are fathers, some are mothers, but the center is Krishna and everyone is satisfied simply loving him. A very nice quote. Okay, another quote is from a lecture, Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, 16 to 17th verse, New York 66. And this reference, he's saying, godless society cannot be happy as detached branches will die. If you detach the branch from the tree, it's compared to a godless society. So then he quotes this verse in there. He said, just like we're not happy by not supplying food to the stomach. If we try to think, okay, if I won't give food to the stomach and I'll be happy. So he said, that's this modern day society. Lecture Bhagavad Gita 3. 3rd chapter, 16, 17th verse. Then another couple of lectures, he says, the highest love, this shows the highest love which will unite all nations. He says, if you pour the water on the root, then you will experience the highest love, and this will unify the whole world, it will unify all the nations of the world. He says, if you love your society, your friends, your country, your family, your dog, nothing will... You will not be happy, but if you love Krishna, all the love will be distributed to all of these. So that's another application. That one is from Gita 7th chapter, verse 1, Bombay 73, or also London 71. I don't have the class. So then another application is that verse, Devarshi Bhutapta Ninam Patrinam. That you will liquidate, if you worship Krishna, you'll liquidate all your debts to your forefathers, the demigods, the rishis. And this is quoted in a lecture on Gita 13, 8 through 12, Bombay 73. And there's one nice conversation. This verse also defeats the one popular philosophy in India called Daridra Narayan. That we should worship the poor God in the shape of the poor man. Narayan in the form of the poor man. That's how there is one philosophy in India. So one person was conversing with Prabhupada, and he was trying to convince Prabhupada of this philosophy. And not only he was trying to convince him, he was quoting Bhagavad Gita. Or at least he thought he was. So the man said, we are rendering service to humanity. Prabhupada said, but I may interfere. In Bhagavad Gita, is there any statement, service to humanity is service to God? This is the philosophy. So if I worship of man, is worship of God. So then the man says, yes. Dri janam para kunteya. He's quoting, making up some verse. There's no such verse in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, no, there's no such. No, yes, yes, I remember. Taridranam para konteya. This guy. Just see what the philosophy is going on here. So we have to know the Gita, every verse. So Prabhupada said, this is wrong theory. Very wrong. Service to the leaves is service to the root. And Prabhupada said, so then that's how he wrote this verse in. He says, yes, you say service to the leaves is service to the root. So anyway, you can quote this verse if anyone comes up with that philosophy. And Prabhupada says, what do you think? Where should the service be given in the tree? To the root or to the leaf? So the man had to admit the root. He says, then why do you say like that? Prabhupada said, Krishna says openly, Ma me kam sharanam vraja, only me. Worship me. So then he started, Prabhupada starts listing a whole bunch of names. What can he do? What can he do? Vivekananda, anyway, all concoction. You cannot do anything. The Prabhupada, very heavy preacher. So another one is, work is worship. Another is, so Prabhupada said, instead of all these isms, we give them Krishna. Not nationalism, socialism. We give, and I've got two more quotes. I just came, oh yes. There's one in Science of Self-Realization, Chapter 8. It's about, this is an example of a true story. Prabhupada said, when one of my godbrothers began to fan my Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, on a very hot day, Guru Maharaj asked, why are you fanning me all of a sudden? And the boy replied, because if you are satisfied, we are all satisfied. So there's one example of application of this verse. And another one I found in Chaitanya Charitamrita, personal application, that actually it's our constitutional position to worship Krishna. And this is the mood of the gopis. And if we worship Krishna, then we will be satisfied. So this is Madhya, 8th chapter, verses 208 to 211. And there it says, there is an inexplicable fact about the natural inclinations of the gopis. Gopis never want to enjoy themselves with Krishna personally. The happiness of the gopis increases 10 million times when they serve to engage Shishi Radha and Krishna in their transcendental pastimes. Now here's the comparison. By nature, Srimati Radharani is just like a creeper of love of Godhead. The gopis are the twigs, flowers, and leaves of that creeper. When the nectar of Krishna's pastimes is sprinkled on the creeper, happiness derived by the twigs, flowers, and leaves is 10 million times greater than that derived by the creeper itself. So it's actually our constitutional position to do like this, that we are the leaves of the creeper. We are the leaves of the creeper, Srimati Radharani. So, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, Srimati Radharani is the creeper of love of Godhead. The gopis are like twigs, flowers, and leaves. When water is sprinkled on the creeper, the twigs, flowers, and leaves indirectly receive all the benefits of the creeper itself. But water sprinkled directly on the twigs, leaves, and flowers is not as effective as water sprinkled on the creeper's root. The gopis are not as pleased when they directly mix with Krishna as when they serve to unite Srimati Radharani with Krishna. So these are examples of this verse. Many examples. You have another one? No. Oh, you have a comment? Okay, from?
Jiva Goswami.
Comment from Jiva Goswami.
Jiva Goswami writes that Das.
What's that?
Jiva Goswami writes, Das, the conclusion of Karma and Gyanakanda is only Shihari.
So it's the conclusion of Gyana and Karma is Shihari. Oh, wonderful. So we heard in previous verses that the goal of Gyana and Yoga and Karma Kanda is Krishna, and now in this verse it's Upasana Kanda. Three Kandas, Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and Upasana Kanda. So this verse explains how the goal of Upasana Kanda is Krishna.
And
Karma Kanda
13?
Verse 13. And even 12, I would say. And 13, it's mentioned, at least by Srila Prabhupada. Goal of all auspicious activities, Karma, Jnana, Yoga. And it was specifically mentioned in verse 12. Sankhya, Yoga, Nyasa, Swadhyaya. These are Karma and Gyan. These are Gyan. And the verse before was Karma, verse 11. I would say, yes. No. Actually, it looks more like 12. Looks like 12 here. Shreya. Shreya means auspicious activities. Shreyob here. Okay. So now, verse 15, we have another analogy. We have three or four analogies in a row given by Narada Muni. Very nice analogies to prove the same point that we should worship Krishna. Why we should worship Krishna? Taiva suryat bhavanti vara punashchatasmin bhavishanti kale bhutani bhumastira jangamani tathara veva guna pravaha. Verse 15. During the rainy season, water is generated from the sun, and in due course of time, during the summer season, the very same water is again absorbed by the sun. Similarly, all living entities, moving and inert, are generated from the earth, and again after some time, they all return to the earth as dust. Similarly, everything emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in due course of time, everything enters into Him again. So actually, it's a triple analogy here, which I just caught. First you have the sun, the sunshine, then you have the earth and the living entities going in and out of the earth, and then we have Krishna. Everything goes from Krishna and it goes back to Krishna. So verse 16. Etat padam ta jagaratmana padam sakit vipatam savitur yata prabha yata sava jagati sukta shaktiya javyakriya jnana vidabha matyaya. Just as the sunshine is non-different from the sun, the cosmic manifestation is also non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Supreme Personality is therefore all-pervasive within this material creation. When the senses are active, they appear to be part and parcel of the body. But when the body is asleep, their activities are manifest. Similarly, whole cosmic creation appears different and yet non-different from Supreme Person. So here again, a double analogy here. The sun, as the sunshine is to the sun, the cosmos is to Krishna. And then there's also a comparison of the senses. When they're active, they appear to be part of the body, but when you're asleep, then the senses are not manifest. You don't work in the same body. You have a subtle body. So this is explained at the end of this purport by Srila Prabhupada. When one sleeps, these senses are inactive, but this does not mean the senses are absent. When one is awakened, the senses become active again. Similarly, this cosmic creation is sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, bhutva bhuta priyate. When the cosmic manifestation is dissolved, it is in a kind of sleeping condition and inactive state. Whether the cosmic manifestation is active or inactive, the energy of the Supreme Lord is always existing. Thus the words appearance and disappearance apply only to the cosmic manifestation. So what is that philosophy that we're hearing right now? Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So throughout our studies of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have heard many analogies and examples and verses which explain Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So what are those? Can anybody give me an analogy or a verse or something that we have learned? Okay, first Madhavendra and then Madhangopa. Chatushloki, good. Yata. Itayatam yat pratiyata. Okay, Madhangopa. I would vote for the third one. Yatha mahanti bhutani shvadu tani ateshvaham sankirtan. You had your hand up. Anyway, you can think. No problem. All right, Guru Sevananda is ready. Ayur harati vai punsam. Shanonita Uttama Sopavataya. That's a Chintya Bheda Bheda. How was that?
No, it's an analogy. Only for a Chintya Bheda Bheda.
Sankirtan.
Yeah. That's a nice verse, though. Anyway. Yes, we should always chant and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We should always remember that also, anyway. Chant and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. Mayatatami dam sarvam jagara vyaktamurtina. Matstani sarvabhutani. Bhagavad Gita. Next one also. Namam. And also the next one, Yatakasha, maybe. She told a bunch. Bhutasto mamatma utbhavana. Any examples, like, or analogies, like?
So it's the sun and the sunshine.
Sun and sunshine. There's another one. The spider and his web. Oh, what do you have?
In Prayag, there is
Ganga
and Yamuna.
Uh-huh.
And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave instruction to Rupa Goswami, in fact, there.
Uh-huh.
And he gives instruction of Achintya Bhita Veda Tattva, and it's actually visible that you can see Ganga and Yamuna separate at the same time.
Oh, okay. In Mayapur also.
Yeah,
okay. So simultaneously one and different? Where one side is Ganga, one side is Yamuna. But to the casual observer, it looks like one. Yes, Vanamala?
Father and son. Yeah.
Father and son. Okay, simultaneously one. Is that your example? Simultaneously one and different. Any other examples? Yes. Okay, so we're discussing Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, and I've asked for the devotees to give examples, verses, analogies to explain this point. Yes, Marangopa.
Fire.
Okay, fire and heat. Heat and light, yeah. Fire and smoke also, sometimes. The smoke is this world, the material world. Heat and light is like the living entities, yes. Yeah, no, that supports his. Ekadesha stitasya agnir. Josa Vistara, yeah, Vistarini, which that's from a Purana. Vishnu Purana. Oh, translate it. I think Madan Gopal did. Can you give me a translation? Just, okay, the heat, the fire is situated in one place, and heat and light are distributed. So the Lord is in one place, but all living entities, is it, or the whole cosmic manifestation is emanating from him as his energy. That is the analogy there. Yes, anything, any other Sankirtan?
The body and the parts of the
body? Body and the parts of the body. I have to think about that. Yes.
Same mouth
carrying a kitten. Simultaneously one and different. Okay, well, maybe we're stretching our analogies here a bit. Yes.
There is one original candle, but all of them look the same.
Okay, that's nice. It's from Brahma Samhita. Diparchireva. Something.
No,
Mahabhupetya. That is Vishnu Tattva. In his energies. But sometimes Prabhupada also uses it. Actually, I have a quote here that he uses with reference to Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Yeah, I have a quote here from 4754.
Right. The same principle is Vishnu.
Yes. Vishnu. Ate, yeah, you're right. Yes. It supports your argument. Yes, 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 separated energy of Prabhupada is the tape of his voice. He was comparing that to how material world is separated energy. Bhaktam, so it's simultaneously one because it's his voice. It's his voice. It's Prabhupada's voice. So it's one. If you hear the tape, you're hearing Prabhupada. Yeah, he says that. Yeah. Bhakti Damian next?
One point is
that. Acha.
Because they both are different and non-different.
Yeah.
Even
the Jivas are Vishnu Tattva. Yes. Swamsha and Vibhinamsha. So you're saying Swamsha and Vibhinamsha. Swamsha is also different and non-different.
And also Prakriti.
Also Prakriti, yes. Yeah, so you've studied that in Bhagavad Rakamrichi Mala, in Dashamula. So all these tattvas are included as Chit Tattva, Chit Shakti, Vishnu Tattva is simultaneously different, one and different.
I was thinking of Tadejati,
Tadejati, Tadure, Tadvantike.
It works, it doesn't work.
Yes.
It's very fun.
Okay, Manangopa. Shakti Shaktimayor, Abhinam. I also have another very common example which Prabhupada gives is the gold mine and the gold ornaments. Also the drop of seawater and the ocean. He gives that. If you just take a drop, you can understand what's in the ocean. Yes. Yes, yeah, that was quoted. That was quoted. Okay, there's another one. Interesting. Prabhupada also, here is, we read this last year. It was the second verse he read last year, 3.1.2. Srila Prabhupada says, according to Gaudiya Chintya Beda Tattva philosophy, anything which satisfies the senses of the Supreme Lord Krishna is also Krishna. It's very interesting. This is Chintya Beda Beda. If it satisfies Krishna, it's Krishna. Then he goes on to give an example. For example, Sri Vrindavan Dham is non-different from Krishna. Tadhama Vrindavanam. Because at Vrindavan, the Lord enjoys transcendental bliss of his internal potency. So this is also, Vrindavan is also a part of Achintya Beda Beda Tattva, the Dham. This is another way to application of this verse. He said, similarly, the house of the Pandavas was also a source of transcendental bliss for the Lord. It is mentioned here, the Lord identified the house with his own self. So it was as good as Vrindavan. Tadiya. Tadiya, yes, Tadiya. Another example, 4.7.54, is unity and diversity. Remember, we went through this unity and diversity at quite some length when we were studying fourth canto previously, I mean in the first part. What is unity and diversity? So this is another explanation of Achintya Beda Tattva, unity in diversity. Because we have the diversity, and we discuss that in ISKCON we have a lot of diversity, but not so much unity. It's very difficult in this age of Kali. So how Prabhupada applies it there, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva are also non-different because no one is independent. Everyone is one with Krishna because nobody is independent of him. So Prabhupada said, this accounts for unity and diversity. There are diverse manifestations, but at the same time, they are one in Vishnu. Everything is an expansion of Vishnu's energy. So any more examples or analogies? Or king and representative. Okay, yes. Prabhupada often said the spiritual master is a representative of the Supreme Lord, Sakshad Hari. But of course, he's also different. He's different and same. Same and different. That's a good application. Okay, verse 17. Here we have you can switch it. Flip chart there. We have our fourth analogy in the row to explain why we should worship Krishna and how it is that Krishna is the root of the tree. Verse 17, my dear kings, sometimes in the sky there are clouds, sometimes darkness, sometimes illumination. The appearance of all these takes place consecutively. Similarly, in the Supreme Absolute, the modes of passion, darkness, and goodness appear as consecutive energies. Sometimes they appear, and sometimes they disappear. So this, here we have clouds. So what are the clouds compared to? No. I would say the clouds are passion. Passion. And darkness is darkness.
Light
is goodness. Clouds are passion. Illumination is goodness. Clouds are passion and darkness is ignorance. So this is the analogy. Paragraph 2. Although the material or physical elements are the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are separate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is therefore not affected by material conditions. Vedanta Sutra confirms Janmadi Asayataha. Creation, maintenance, and dissolution of this cosmic manifestation are due to the existence of the Lord, Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, the Lord is unaffected by all these changes in the material elements. This is indicated by the word pravaha, emanation. The sun always shines brilliantly and is not affected by clouds or darkness. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always present in his spiritual energy and not affected by material emanations. So this is also a very important verse. What verses support this analogy here? That although he is the source, everything comes from him, but he is above that. Yeah. 9-9. Nachamam tani karmani nipatanati ananjaya. Vadasina vadasina. Asaktam deshikamshu. I am seated. Yes. Matta parataram nanya kinchirasti tananjaya. There is no true spirit to me. Namang karmani limpanti. Okay, now let's. How about Bhagavatam verses? It's not difficult. Yes. Sattvam rajas tamas. He accepts the modes. Yeah. That's 1-23. 24. Yes. Okay. All right, we forgot one. Vichayva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye. Okay, that's 12th verse. Yeah, 7-12. Vichayva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye. No problem. The more verses we get, the happier we are. And just remember, Janmadhyasiyataha, that whole first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam explains, yes, but I am above in Goloka, which is beyond. Although everything's coming from me, that I am beyond in Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka. Param Satyam Vatimaye. So, Jagrihe Purusham Rupam.
He was there before the creation.
Yes. He was there. Aham Sarvas, what is it? Aham Ivasa Mevagre. Take the whole Chatushloki together.
Or,
what's that? Narayana?
Paraveda.
Yeah, Narayana. Yeah, that's a good verse for this section. Narayana Paraveda, Narayana Paramakaha, Narayana Parayoga, Narayana Paramgyanam, Paramtapa, Paragati. 28 and 29. That's nothing's excluded there. 1, 2, 28 and 29. Okay. Let's go to the next one. Verse 18. Because the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes, he is the supersoul of all individual living entities, and he exists as both the remote and immediate cause. Since he is aloof from the material emanations, he is free from their interactions, and is Lord of material nature. You should therefore engage in his devotional service, thinking yourself qualitatively one with him. So we've heard all these wonderful verses explaining the tattva of the Lord, cause of all causes, he is aloof. So then we get a therefore. After hearing all these verses, we get another therefore. So what is that therefore? Should engage in devotional service. After hearing all these verses, instructions of Narada Muni, how can you not engage in devotional service to Lord Krishna? So here in the beginning of the purport, it explains the Lord is called Tritayatmaka, that there are three causes of creation, time, ingredient, and creator. And these are called Tritayatmaka, time, ingredient, and creator. Everything in this world is created by these three causes. So we heard quite extensively of how this happens in Third Canto. First, there was only the Creator. And then with his glance, so many things happened. Time, the living entities, karma, all these things, the ingredient, everything came in his glance. So then Brijan has a nice comment here on this verse. He says, just imagine trying to understand the nature of the potter. Remember that analogy of the potter making a pot. So if you just try to understand the nature of the potter by studying the pot. So that's what people are doing. They have this world. They're studying this world and they're trying to understand the nature of the Creator. And Brijan says, one can't understand anything except that he makes pots. Don't know what he looks like. Don't know where he lives, who he loves, who his family is. If you study the pot, how will you know about the Creator? So similarly, how can the scientist claim to come to conclusions about the Lord by studying the material world? So that was his nice comment on this verse. So verse 19 is very important. Narada Muni is explaining how we can please the Lord. And this is the essence of our devotional service. We want to please the Lord. This is the conclusion of devotional. This is what we want to do. So it is very important here for us. Dayaya sarabhuteshu santushtayena kenava savendriya pshantyacha tushatashitanadana. By showing mercy to all living entities, dayaya sarabhuteshu, being satisfied somehow or other, santushtya yena kenava, and one can controlling the senses from sense enjoyment, savendriyo pishantyacha, one can very quickly satisfy Supreme Personality of Godhead Janardana. Who is Janardana, by the way? Lord of the heart. Super soul. He who removes all problems, yes. Oh, what? Maintainer. Again, Achintya Beda. Maintainer and destroyer of distress. Jana Ardana. Is he the one whose picture is on the front of Ishopanishad? Or is that Keshava? Keshava, okay. I wasn't sure. Yes? Bhavagrahi. Bhavagrahi Janardana. Remember that quote? Bhavagrahi Janardana. He accepts the bhava. He accepts your feeling of your service. Okay, so this is Janardana. And he's explaining how we can please Janardana. Three ways. First is our relationships with all living entities. Mercy. Dayaya. And what's the best way to show mercy according to Srila Prabhupada? Preaching. Sarva Upakar. Yes. Make yourself perfect and go and preach. Prabhupada says at the end of the first paragraph of this that those who are actually learned, advanced in spiritual understanding, should preach Krishna consciousness all over the world so that people may take to it and make their lives successful. So who should we preach to? That's the next question. Dayaya? Who? Sarvabhuteshu. All living entities. How do we preach to all living entities? Nagasankirtan. Okay, that's what Lord Chaitanya did. Nagasankirtan. Prabhupada says in the purport, the word sarvabhuteshu is significant because it applies not only to human beings, but to all the living entities appearing in 8,400,000 species of life. Devotee can do good not only to humanity, but to all living entities as well. Everyone can benefit spiritually by chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. When the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna is sounded, even the trees, animals, and insects benefit. Thus, when one chants Hare Krishna Mahamantra loudly, he actually shows mercy to all living entities. So that's two ways to be merciful to all living. One is to preach, and one is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Nam Sankirtan. So then all living entities will be benefited by that. So then the next point is to be satisfied. So this is what we have to, if we do these three things, we can please the Lord. So first thing is to preach and chant Hare Krishna, according to Srila Prabhupada. Be merciful. Second is to be satisfied. To spread the Krishna conscious movement throughout the world, devotees should be satisfied in all conditions. And then he quotes, Narayana parasarvena kutaschana vipyati sarva pavaganarake shapituryata darshina. Does not matter to the pure devotee if he has to go to hell to preach. Supreme Lord lives in the heart of a hog. So even the Lord himself goes to hell. He's in the heart of the hog and the insect, although the Lord is in Vaikuntha. So try to understand that philosophical point. He's in the heart of the hog, but he's in Vaikuntha. Even while preaching in hell, so here's some tips. A pure devotee remains a pure devotee by his constant association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To attain this state, one has to control his senses. These senses are automatically controlled when one's mind is engaged in the service of the Lord. Anybody preach in hell? Sankirtan did. Where is hell? China. Oh, yes. Yes, China.
I was staying in one place alone for 100 days and I was just next to the...
100 days.
To the animal market.
Oh my goodness. So you are living next to the animal market for 100, oh dear. Everything. Yes. Yes, Prabhu. Colombia.
Is there any place in the material world which is...
It's not hell. Anybody to preach in heaven? Well, I was in Goa for 5 years, but I wasn't exactly preaching. I was a little bit preaching. It is, actually. Mauritius. Mauritius is heaven. Yeah. Goa, it's not hot, not cold. It's waterfalls and mountains and beaches and very pleasant weather and natural, like, mode of goodness.
Nairobi and Mombasa
are
just
like that. Nairobi, Mombasa.
Three ruffles on
each
one.
Right, yes, Mangopa. Rock concerts is held. Yes. Yeah, it's hellish. Yeah, Sadi Purush.
Factories.
You were preaching in the factories. You were telling us how it's hell, yes? You were preaching in the factories? Well, horrible.
Horrible sound.
Yeah, the finger was gone. Hell, yes, Patri. Different shifts of the factory. Bhagavatam sets. He was fried, and you were fried.
Fighting.
Oh, cha-cha. So, you have experience that you went to hell of preaching and you remained a devotee. Krishna helps, okay. So this is, yes. Okay, the worst hell is our own mind. Yes, we can be living in hell. Actually, the demon and devotee are in the same body in Kali Yuga. So that's our problem. And that's why we have the most mercy. The mind can turn any auspicious condition to hell. And next year we're going to hear the beginning, the preachings of Rishabhdev. Don't trust the mind. Don't trust it. And he gives, it's like a snake, it's like this, it's like that. Don't trust your mind. Very nice, heavy preaching at the beginning of fifth canto about the mind. Okay, so I have something nice here about how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached to all living entities. This is from Madhya Lila 17, verse 27, and then from 38 for a few verses up to 46. Anakale vyakatata ilapanshasa vyagramriki milichale mahaprabhusat. While Lord Chaitanya was passing through the jungle, 5 or 7 tigers came. Joining the deer, the tigers began to follow the Lord. Deki mahaprabhu vrindavan smriti hoila vrindavan guna vanan shoka porila. Seeing the tigers and deer following him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately remembered the land of Vrindavan. He then began to recite a verse describing the transcendental quality of Vrindavan. Achanai sargadurvaira sahasan sahasane migadaya michani vachitava sadhutarutta shanadikam. Vrindavan is a transcendental abode of the Lord. There is no hunger, anger, or thirst there. Though naturally inimical, human beings and fierce animals live together there in transcendental friendship. Krishna Krishna Kokori Prabhu Jave Bolila Krishna Kai Vyagramrika Nachite Lagila. When Lord Chaitanya said, chant Krishna Krishna, the tigers and deer began to chant Krishna and dance. Nachi Kunde Vyagagan Miki Gan Shange Balabhatya Bhattacharya Deki Apurvarange. When all the tigers and does danced and jumped, Balabhatya Bhattacharya saw them and was struck with wonder. Vyagramrika anyonye koryalingan mukhe mukha diakore anyonye chaman. Indeed, the tigers and deer began to embrace one another. In touching mouths, they began to kiss. When Lord Chaitanya saw the fun, he began to smile. Finally, he left the animals and continued on his way. And then later on, when the Lord loudly chanted Hari Bol, the trees and creepers became jubilant to hear him. So not only did he liberate the animals, he liberated the non-moving living entities as well. So Prabhupada explains that loud chanting of Hare Krishna would benefit not only trees and plants, but insects and all living beings. And this was the question of Haridas Thakur to Mahaprabhu, that how will we deliver these trees and plants and insects from material bondage. And this is from Antya Lila, chapter 3, verses 67 to 76 and 86. So Lord Chaitanya replied, no, Lord Chaitanya asked Haridas, and Haridas replied, your loud Sankirtan has delivered all living entities like trees and plants. And after they hear it, then they echo, and this echo is the kirtan of the trees. So this is Antya 3, 67-76. So Prabhupada quoted his Guru Maharaj. Well, first of all, he was talking about the devotees that got arrested in Melbourne, or one of, yes, I think it was Melbourne, in the beginning of the movement, and they were taken to the judge, to the court. And the judge asked, why do you chant Hare Krishna mantra loudly in the streets? And the answer was, we chant just to benefit the people. So Prabhupada said, we are chanting very freely, just to benefit the people. He said, my Guru Maharaj used to say, if somebody complained that we go and chant, nobody comes, then Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta would reply, why? The four walls, they're hearing. And that's how it was with Śrīla Prabhupāda in the beginning. The four walls were hearing. When he was first in New York, nobody came, and he had his tape recorder, the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, that was spoken to the four walls. But we still have it on tape. And now, even though at that point it was spoken to the four walls, now it's thousands and millions have heard that, which was spoken to the four walls by Śrīla Prabhupāda. So quite amazing. So let's finish this. Verse 20. Being completely cleansed of all material desires, devotees are freed from all mental contamination. Thus, they can always think of the Lord constantly and address Him very feelingly. So these are the results of pleasing the Lord, from verse 20. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, knowing Himself to be controlled by His devotees, does not leave them for a second, just as the sky overhead never becomes invisible. So purport, just before the quote, Prabhupada says, when the mind is completely free from material desire, a devotee can think of the Lord constantly. In this way, he becomes completely dependent upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, Ayi nanda tunarcha kinkaram patitamam vishameva bambudha kripaya tava parapankaja stita tuli sharisham chintaya. My dear Lord, I am your eternal servant, but somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of this material world. Kindly pick me up and fix me as a speck of dust at your lotus feet. What's another way to say this prayer in simple English? Please pick me up, place me. What's another? Yes. Make me dance. Yeah. Means another, yeah, shikshastakam. So I'm asking for a simple way. Yes. Please engage me in your service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. It's another way to say that. Yes. Yes. Do you have something, Krishanta? No. Virjan repeated again and again, please accept me. Please accept me. And this Prabhupada also said, we should cry and we should beg, please accept me as your servant. Please accept me. Narottam Das Thakur prays, Aha Prabhu Nanda Sutta Vishabhana Sutta Juta Karuna Kaha Eva Narottama Dasa Koi Nateli Narangapar Tamabine Kaya Chayama. My dear Lord, you are now present with the daughter of King Vishabhana, Shrimati Radharani. Now both of you, please be merciful upon me. Don't kick me away, because I have no shelter other than you. So we're still in the purport here. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes dependent on His devotee. The Lord is invincible, yet He is conquered by His pure devotee. He enjoys being dependent on His devotee, just as Krishna enjoyed being dependent on the mercy of Mother Yashoda. Thinking Himself dependent on the devotee gives the Supreme Lord great enjoyment. So one example is Mother Yashoda. There are so many examples of the Lord dependent on... The Lord Ram was dependent on Hanuman. And Prabhupada gives the example, Lord Chaitanya is dependent on us to spread this movement throughout the world. So these are the examples, how the Lord depends on his devotee. And there's a nice verse, 9.4.63. This is spoken by the Lord after Durvasa Muni came and begged him, please save me from your Sudarshan Chakra. Aham bhakta paradhino ya svatantra hita vija sarve grascha hidaya bhaktaya bhakta chanapya. I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I'm not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the cores of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. Lord Chaitanya said, therefore, das anudas. Yes. Who? Prithu Maharaj. Yes. The Lord is famous because he worships the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord is famous because he worships the devotee's lotus feet. Right. The Lord says that again and again. I get the power to purify because I worship my devotees. Verse 21. Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions but are fully happy in possessing devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes devotional activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy, and fruitive activity are very proud of possessing material things, and they often deride the devotees. Even if such people offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts it. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, who is a pure devotee? According to Prabhupada. This is one of the themes of fourth canto. Who is a pure devotee? Who is a real Vaishnava? Who is that, according to this verse? According to. Little good thing. He magnifies. He doesn't see the faults. Okay? Pure devotee. Okay, here in the purport, a pure devotee is one who feels he does not possess anything material. So what does he possess then? Krishna. Devotional service. Prabhupada said this also about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One who feels, I only possess the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has everything. He is happy. So Prabhupada says, sometimes devotees may appear materially poor, but because they are spiritually advanced and enriched, they are most dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then, says Krishna understands the position of a devotee. If someone derides a pure devotee, he is never recognized by the Lord. So there's a verse 4.4.13, if you remember, with the Daksha Yagya, Sati says, it's not wonderful for persons who have accepted the transient material body as a self to engage always in deriding great souls. Such envy on the part of materialistic persons is very good, because that is the way they fall down. They are diminished by the dust of the feet of great Vaishnavas. So another theme of this chapter is Vaishnava Aparad. Beware of Vaishnava Aparad. And we're seeing it right here at the end also. Materialistic people, they deride the devotees. And what's another verse, familiar verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that supports this verse? Jamaishwarya Shuta Srivir E Tamana Madapuman Naivrahak Davidatum Vai Tvama Kinshana Gochana Queen Kunti prays that those who are puffed up with these material opulences, they cannot feelingly address the Lord. Oh yes, please turn the page. Thank you. Verse 20, we passed it away. These are the results of pleasing the Lord. Abhahata apahata sakalaisham, cleanse the material desires. Amalatmani, spotless mind. Aviratam etita, constant thinking of the Lord. Bhava no pahuta, feelingly addressing the Lord. Nija janavas, the Lord becomes controlled. Nasarati, the Lord never leaves. And verse 21 that we're reading now, the Lord is harir adhanatma dhanapriyo, dear to those who possess nothing but devotional service. And such a devotee is rasagya. He relishes the essence of life. So these are the benefits of pleasing the Lord. This is what we can expect This is what we can expect to achieve or feel by pleasing the Supreme Lord. And if you have pleased the Lord, then you will begin to experience these results. Verse 22. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, he becomes dependent on his devotees. He does not care for the Goddess of Fortune nor for the kings and demigods who are after the favors of the Goddess of Fortune. Where is that person who is actually grateful and will not worship the Personality of Godhead? So Narada Muni has very systematically given us all the tattva here and all the reasons why we should worship Krishna. And now he's saying that if you worship Krishna, he'll become dependent on you. So who can fail to worship? Where is a person who is grateful and will not worship the Supreme Lord? And Prabhupada paraphrases it in the purport, maybe in the middle or near the beginning. What ungrateful devotee will not worship the Lord and enter into his devotional service? Actually, a devotee cannot forget his obligation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even for a single moment. Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti Thakur says, both the Supreme Lord and his devotee are rasagya, full of transcendental humor. The mutual attachment between the Supreme Lord and his devotee is never to be considered material. It always exists as a transcendental fact. There are 8 types of transcendental ecstasy known as bhava, anubhava, sthayi bhava, and so on. These are discussed in Nectar of Devotion. So you can just flip the flip chart for this verse. See what it says here. One more. Yeah. There it is. This is the last verse. Nija Britya Varga Tantra, dependent on his devotees. So we'll discuss these 3 levels of love. I'll give you a nice quote for that. But before that, I'd like to give some verses which support the point of how the Lord does not care for Goddess of Fortune or kings or demigods, but he favors his devotee. There's a nice verse he speaks to Uddhava, 11:14-15. Na tata me priyatama atmayonir na shankara na cha sangha shino na shi naivatma cha yathabhavan. 11:14-15. My dear Uddhava, neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Sankarshan, the Goddess of Fortune, nor indeed my own self are as dear to me as you are. So he's speaking to Uddhava here. And Prabhupada, or not Prabhupada, whoever comments, I think our devotees, Vidyananda Maharaj, explain the commentaries here that Atma Yoni means Lord Brahma. He's born directly from the Lord, but he's not as dear. And then Lord Shiva, he gives great pleasure to Lord Krishna by his constant meditation, as we heard, how he's always meditating. But he's not so dear. And then there's Lakshmi, his wife. She's not so dear. Then there's Sankarshan, Balaram, his own brother. He's not so dear. Then the Lord's own self, that's the deity, not so dear, as Uddhava, as a devotee, a pure devotee, a Kinchana devotee. Śrīla Madhvacārya cites from Vedic literature the example a gentleman sometimes neglects his own interest, that of his children, to give charity to a poor beggar. Similarly, the Lord gives preference to a helpless devotee who depends completely on his mercy. So if we become helpless and dependent on Krishna, we can get the mercy of Lord Krishna. And there's one more verse, 10:9-20, by Shukadeva Goswami. And this is quoted in a purport of Srila Prabhupada, a very nice purport. You can also, 5:18-23. Actually, the verse, that 5:18-23, is nice also. Lakshmi says, "O infallible one, your lotus palm is the source of all benediction, so your pure devotees worship it. You very mercifully place your hand on their heads. I wish you may also place your hand on my head." She's desiring what the devotees have, Lakshmi. "Because although you keep my insignia of golden streaks on your chest, I think this honor is just a kind of false prestige for me. You show your real mercy to your devotees, not to me." The wife's complaining. This is 5:18-23. We'll hear it next year when we study the prayers of the residents of Jamadweep. So she's praying to Pradyumna, the Lord in the form of Pradyumna. So Prabhupada explains in many places, the Shastra describes the Lord is more inclined toward his devotees than his own wife. And this is, of course, in the material world we experience that the husband is like that too, a lot. But this is also, I guess they get it from the original Krishna. He's like that too. So an example of who he likes more. This is 10:9:20. Nimam virencho napavana shira pyanga sanshaya pisaram lepire gopi yatta kappa vimuchita. Supreme Lord, who can award liberation to anyone, show more mercy toward the gopis than to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or even the goddess of fortune, who is his own wife and associated with his body. So that purport contains other quotes which you can read. And then the next point was these three levels of love that's here on the flip chart, Staibhav, Anubhav, Mahabhav, mentioned by Srila Prabhupada. And there's a nice quote from last year, 3:14:48, which explains these three levels of love. Staibhav, continual perfect love of God. Anubhav, love in transcendental relationship. And Mahabhav, found in his personal pleasure potency. So you can read that purport of that verse to get the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, explanation on these levels. That is 3:14:48 purport. So we'll finish the rest of the verses today. The great sage, so that's the end of the instructions of Narada Muni to the Prachetas. The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear King Vidura, Shri Narada Muni, the son of Lord Brahma, thus described all these relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the Prachetas. Afterward, he returned to Brahmaloka. Hearing from Narada's mouth the glories of the Lord, which vanquish all the ill fortune of the world, the Prachetas also became attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Meditating on his lotus feet, they advanced to the ultimate destination." So Prabhupada explains in the purport, this is how they, by hearing the glories, they attain strong attachment to the Lord. So then Prabhupada gives a promise here. So we should be very happy when we hear these words by Prabhupada, because a pure devotee's words cannot prove false. "It is sure and certain that anyone who always hears the glories of the Lord and thinks of his lotus feet will reach that supreme destination. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana bhavama bhakto majaji mam namaskaru mami vaishisi satyam te pati jane pihosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend." So I won't ask for verses. I'll just give you one that's very nice from Bhagavad Gita. Maya sakta manaparta yoga nyunja marashaya asam shayam samagangam yata gyasasitachunam. So verse 25. "My dear Vidura, I have told you everything you wanted to know about the conversation between Narada and the Prachetas, the conversation describing the glories of the Lord. I have related this as far as possible." Shukadev Goswami. Now, that's the end of the long, long conversation of Vidura and Maitreya with verse 25, where Maitreya says, "Now it's finished, it's over." So 2 years, two cantos, it's taken us to finish this conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. What will be the result? Shukadev Goswami continued, "O best of kings, King Parikshit, I have now finished telling about the descendants of the first son of Swayambhuvamana, Uttanapada." So in the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya, we heard about the descendants of Uttanapada, and we also heard about all the ladies, Devahuti, Prasuti, and Akuti. "I shall now try to relate the activities of the descendants of Priyavrat, the second son of Swayambhuvamana. Now please hear them attentively. Although Maharaj Priyavrat received instructions from the great sage Narada, he still engaged in ruling the earth." So that means despite Narada's instructions to be a sannyasi, he became a grihastha. "After fully enjoying material possessions, he divided his property among his sons. He then attained a position by which he could return home back to Godhead." So if you all want to hear what happened to Priyavrat, you have to come back next year. So this is a little bit of a future prediction. What do you call that? A taste of what you will get next year, given to us by preview of upcoming attractions by Shukadev Goswami. Preview of upcoming attractions. We will hear about, first thing we'll hear about next year is Priyavrat. And then we'll hear about his wonderful descendants, Lord Rishabhdev Bharat Maharaj.
Was he junior to
Uttanapada? He was a senior brother. No, Priyavrata is senior, but he renounced. So then Uttanapada ruled, because his senior brother renounced. As far as I know, he's senior to Uttanapada. Then he was called back, yes. And Prabhupada says that Lord Brahma has this duty. So many manus he has to call, he has to force them to manage. It's not easy to get a manager. Yes, sounds like ISKCON. He has to go and force these people to take up the management, although they're sannyas. Okay, we'll go to verse 28. My dear King, in this way, after hearing the transcendental messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees from the great sage Maitreya, Vidura was overwhelmed with ecstasy. With tears in his eyes, he immediately fell down at the lotus feet of his guru, his spiritual master. He then fixed the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart. So Prabhupada said this is a sign of association. Srila Prabhupada quotes Prahlad Maharaj. Nesamatista varudu kramangrim shvisatyanata pagamo yarata mahiya samparaja vishekam niskinchananam navinitayavad. One cannot become a perfect devotee of the Lord without having touched the lotus feet of a great devotee. So then Prabhupada explains this process of realization. So we have process of self, one who has nothing to do with this material world is called Nishkinshana. The process of self-realization and path home back to Godhead means surrendering to the bona fide spiritual master and taking the dust of his lotus feet in one's hand. Thus, one advances on the path of transcendental realization. Vidura had this relationship with Maitreya and he attained the results, and we have this relationship with Srila Prabhupada. So our path back to home, back to Godhead is open. We just have to believe in his words. I think that's... Okay. 29. So yam adhya mahayogin bhavata karanatmana dashitas tamasaparo vichakinshana gohari. Sri Vidura said, O great mystic, O greatest of all devotees, by your causeless mercy I have been shown the path of liberation from this world of darkness. By following this path, a person liberated from the material world can return home, back to Godhead. Verse 30. Shukadeva Goswami continued, Vidura thus offered obeisances unto the great sage Maitreya, and taking his permission started for the city of Hastinapur to see his own kinsman, although he had no material desires. So why would a pure devotee want to go see his relatives? Yes.
This is the time when he's going to deliver
Dhritarashtra. Yes, he's going to deliver Dhritarashtra after hearing from Maitreya. So Prabhupada says, when a saintly person wants to see his kinsmen, he has no material desire to see them. He simply wants to give them some instructions so they can benefit. Vidura belonged to the royal family of the Kauravas, and although he knew that all the family members were destroyed at the Battle of Kurukshetra, he nonetheless wanted to see his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, to see if he could deliver Dhritarashtra from the clutches of Maya. He wasn't sure, but he was going to try. When a great saintly person like Vidura sees his relatives, he desires only to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. And that reminds me of Sridhar Swami, our godbrother, who went to visit his relatives in Canada, and he brought them to Mayapur just before he left his body. His two brothers, yes? And they became very... they were even calling themselves Bhakta by the time they finished their association with devotees in Mayapur. They're calling themselves Bhaktas, Bhakta this and Bhakta that. So this is he didn't go there to, you know, say goodbye, one last goodbye to his relatives. He came to deliver them, Srila Swami, and bring them to Mayapur. So this is the mentality of the devotee. So when Vidura came back to Hastinapur, he walks into the palace, and he's been out on parikrama for 25 years, and he's seen Maitreya Muni, and the aborigines of that. So he's preaching very strongly. And first, I'll tell you the verses. Oh, actually, Burjan said he heard of so many kings who have reached the perfection and renounced the end of their lives. That's Prithu, Dhruva, Prachinabahi, Anga, all these. And so he wanted to also give mercy to Dhritarashtra so he could follow in their footsteps.
of his ancestors. So the verses that impressed Vidura, that he's going to preach to Dhritarashtra, 3rd canto, 30th chapter, verse 15, is one of the important verses spoken by Kapila Dev, 3:30:15. Thus he remains at home just like a pet dog and eats whatever is so negligently given to him. Afflicted with many illnesses such as dyspepsia and loss of appetite. 3rd canto, 30th chapter, verse 15. This is Kapila Dev.
Oh, generally about the living.
Yeah, about the. After the evolution, after Yamaraj, then he takes another. Oh no, this is before. Yes. The child prays, he grows up, and he becomes an old man. And this is what he's experiencing. He remains at home, just like a pet dog, and eats whatever is so negligently given to him. Afflicted with many illnesses, such as dyspepsia and loss of appetite, he eats only very small morsels of food, and he becomes an invalid who cannot work anymore. So Prabhupada says in that purport, before meeting death, one is sure to become a diseased invalid, and when he is neglected by his family members, his life becomes less than a dog's because he's put into so many miserable conditions. Vedic literatures enjoin, therefore, before the arrival of such miserable conditions, one should leave home and die without the knowledge of his family members. If a man leaves home and dies without his family's knowing, that is considered a glorious death. But an attached family man wants his family members to carry him in a great procession even after his death, and although he will not be able to see how the procession goes, he still desires his body be taken gorgeously in procession. Thus he is happy without even knowing where he has to go when he leaves his body for the next life. So then the preaching of Vidura, Canto 1, Chapter 13, verses 22, 23, and 26. You have been blind from your very birth. Recently you have become hard of hearing. Your memory is shortened. Your intelligence is disturbed. Your teeth are loose. Your liver is defective. And you are coughing up mucus. So this is very heavy preaching. We don't advise that you go out on the street and preach like this. Alas, how powerful are the hopes of a living being to continue his life. You are living just like a household dog eating the remnants of food given by Bhima. Then verse 26. He is called undisturbed Dhira who goes to an unknown remote place and freed from all obligation quits his material body when it has become useless. So this is the preaching of Vidura as he has heard from Kapila Dev. And the third canto, very close to what Kapila said. It's just like a dog. And he says the same words to Dhritarashtra. So last verse, O King. Okay, here is the Shruti fala for us, who have now finished the fourth canto. Those who hear these topics about kings who are completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead obtain, without difficulty, a long life, wealth, good reputation, good fortune, and ultimately the opportunity to return home back to Godhead. So take your choice. Which one which one? And who want, we want the ultimate goal or we want something before we go back to Godhead? You can have also that if you want. Nice fame, good fortune, wealth, long life, and ultimately go back to Godhead. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any questions or comments on this verse? I mean on the verses. Sankirtan. What's that? A million years. That was a benediction given by the Lord himself.
And there was all also all strength.
Yes, they had full strength. They could enjoy. Yes. Oh, chant the prayer. They did that. So, okay, that's... So, what do we say about that?
Yeah, I wonder if this is a little observation, if that is really happening. If they have
are they really feeling, or did they really sink down? That's your question. Yeah. Did they fall into Maya?
And then because they say, oh, now we understand. Granted, you came to rescue. And then
you came to save us. We were in Maya. So did the question is, did the Prachetas fall into Maya for a million years?
Not that they were weakened, it seems.
Or did they lose... Did they go back a few steps in their devotional life by ruling for a million years? Of course, it's very interesting. Well, I think it's very interesting you bring up this question, because next year it's going to be the beginning of the canto. That's the topic. Is it a fall down? He's a sannyasi. Are they, you know, now Priyavrata's going to take up Grihastha life. So is it, did he fall down? I mean, the same thing will come. And afterwards, he'll, at the end, he'll say, oh, I fell down, I forgot everything. He will say that too, Priyavrata. Yes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sanatana Goswami. Yes, who am I? Why am I suffering? They know the process, but they're very humble because Narada Muni, their guru, has come. Okay, so you say that they know the answer, but they're being very humble. Even Yudhisthira, he asks Narada, oh, what should a very entangled person do? Or Vasudeva, one of them, Krishna's father, I'm so entangled in Grihastha life, what should I do? One of them asked that question to Narada Muni, but you know, who are these people who are asking these questions? Yes. Okay. So their service was Prajapati. Service of having children. That was their service. So therefore she's saying, how could they fall down doing their service? Yes, Sankirtan. Okay, you feel that they moved away from their real conviction. Pure devotional service. Well, Prabhupada commented that the Brahman they meditated on was what Lord Shiva told them, Param Brahman, Krishna.
Yeah,
Prabhupada said that. Okay, so there we have the ladies here who are in favor of populating the universe. No, following the instruction, that was the instruction of Lord Shiva. Yes. And even the Lord himself, not only Lord Shiva. The Lord said, you should marry this girl and you'll have a son. It was not just Lord Shiva.
Narada Muni didn't appear to them until after they had their opportunity to execute this.
Yes.
Instructions of the guru.
Yes, so they followed the instructions of their guru.
And it was time and he didn't come before they started giving. He came after.
Also, another point I would bring up to support this side is that the Lord said, you will have pure devotional service.
Right.
And Prabhupada explained that the reason why they got strong senses is so they could engage in full devotional service. Because when you're old and diseased, you can't do it. Yeah.
I think because of God's blessing, Narada is arrived there.
Okay, here's another way to look at it. It's not because they were in the darkness. It was the blessing of the Lord. They met the Lord. So that's why Narada Muni came. And this is the mood of the disciple also, that I am really I'm a fool. Lord Chaitanya also said, I was a fool before my spiritual master Ishwarpuri. And he chastised me, he said, you are murk, which means fool. Yes. Yes. Okay, so what's the use? Actually, it's a fact that you need the blessings of a pure devotee of the Lord to go to the spiritual world. So this is like the final touch. They got Lord Shiva, of course, he's the best devotee. Then they got the Lord, and now at the end of their lives, all through their life, they're getting the mercy. So the final touch is the mercy of the pure devotee, Narada Muni. Yes.
They prayed to God, association.
Oh, okay, here's the answer. Thank you, Vanamali. It was their prayer. Please give us association of devotees. First, through the prayer of Lord Shiva, that was Lord Shiva's prayer, please give me association. Then when they met the Lord, that was their prayer, please give me association. So now they got it. Narada Muni came, they got association of the Lord. So that's a very nice, thank you, Vanamali Prabhu, that they got the association of Narada Muni, it was their prayer. Yes, Dr. Damien. Okay, we have some time. What happened to Maitreya after he left? This is Hardwar. Of course, maybe he just stayed there. Has anybody read do you know, can you look up in the dictionary? There's on Maitreya? Is there a dictionary of personalities? So you can look up Maitreya, because he was just there in Hardwar and Vidura came there. So he probably stayed in Hardwar for some time. That's his place. That's where he lives. I don't know if he's still there or not. But you never know with these people. They could still be there. And, you know, some hidden, of course, not revealed to ordinary eyes, like Vyasadeva is still here. What does it say about Maitreya? Oh, very big dictionary. Okay, any other questions? Yeah. Okay. You'll never forget that question, will you? Oh, yeah. That we heard about. What was it? Half man, half woman? Ishvara. Well, that was that's how they appeared. They appeared from Lord Brahma, half man, half woman, remember? When that is in the third canto. Third canto. 12th chapter? Look in. Yeah, it's the body of Brahma, male and female. Half woman Ishvara. Born from the half woman Ishvara or born as?
From the half man.
Half woman Ishvara. That's interesting. Anyway, we know that they were born as half man, half woman.
Yeah.
He and his wife simultaneously.
That's in the 12th chapter?
I would say 12th chapter. That is Visarga. Yes, it must be 12 because then after that, okay. In 13, they go to Brahma and say, "Where you've told us to create, so where? Okay. What is the place? Okay, wait, you have something? No. Nothing about Maitreya? Well, Vidura sent him to Maitreya. Also, one thing I know, he's born from Mitra, and that's how he gets his name, Maitreya. Mitra, son of Mitra. Okay, yes, Vanamali?
Like Shiva and Parvati.
Shiva, Parvati, half. Okay. Interesting. Yes?
I have a question about the previous topic.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
Right?
No. Yeah. They're equal. What their instructions are equal. You see the similarity. You see such. Yeah. They're both Mahajans, and they're simultaneously one and different. They're giving the same instructions. Okay. Anything else? So you'll have to look up in somewhere else about Maitreya. Yeah. Sankhyayana. Yes, we heard that last year. He's in the line of Kumara Sampradaya. He's in the line of Parashara, is there, I think. Parashara, he heard. No, didn't he hear from Parashara or he spoke to Parashara, one or the other? I think he heard from. Didn't he hear from Parashara? Gotcha. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai. See you next year.